Starting by the Tirraway, North West London, in conjunction with Vad Harabonim, Lenon Estam, North West London. Sunday, 29 Teves, 2nd of January. Rav David Zinger. Tefillin demonstration, bottom, parshias, retuas, individually and putting together.
I'll skip the plastic box, please. Yeah, everything. It's good. Let's go.
I'd like to thank Rav David Cohen for being Megale Reva Tefach of what goes on. A Reva Tefach. Normally we say to be Megale a Tefach, and that's considered to be a small amount, because we know that behind that there is much more. I first received my Kabbalah for Sofras in Tovshin Lamed Vov. So I have a few weeks of experience. And therefore I can say we have received a Gilui of Reva Tefach. But I want to help you to become wise, that with the knowledge that you've only seen, you've only heard a minuscule amount, I want to help you with a certain lexicon. The question that's really being posed by Rav Shlomo in his introductory shiur, by Rav David in expanding the various items that need to be considered. I want to make you wise, so that you will become, you will be able, you will have something that I call a customer guarantee. What is going to be your customer guarantee that you can go to the Sofer HaIr and quiz him? Kol Shekein, that if you don't go to the Sofer HaIr, that you go to a shop, that you should be able to quiz the person behind the counter and receive proper, genuine customer guarantees that what it is that you want to purchase, whether you are binding yourself to the mitzvah, as Rav Shlomo was saying, or whether you're putting the chevtah on your house, or whatever. So what are some of the things that we need to know? During my years as a sofer and a magia, people have come to me with requests. I want you to write me a pair of parshas. Okay? I can do that. Do you need Beis Yosef? Do you need Ari? Or do you need Velish? I don't know. Ah. Are you Ashkenazi? Sfardi? Chassidish? I can help, as it were, channel the person. If I discover the person is, let's say, for argument's sake, Ashkenazi, okay? Do you want the parshas written according to the Taz or according to the Rambam? And all of this reminds me of a story that my father used to tell me. Once upon a time, to go and buy a loaf of bread, you went to the shop and you bought a loaf of bread. Now you want a loaf of bread. You want it sliced or not sliced? You want it brown, black, white? Do you want it thin sliced, thick sliced? whole list of questions. What used to be a loaf of bread, it's possibly still a loaf of bread, but it becomes very technical. So when we want tefillin, do we want Or Echod? We were shown by Reb David Shmatas. That's what we saw. Shmatas. Or Echod. What does it mean, Or Echod? And here, let's leave the drosha from Shlomo. Or here with an ayin, not with an aleph. Because if we don't have proper or with an ayin, we're certainly not going to get or with an aleph. Gassus, or dakas, or shmatas. Gdolim v'chashuvim, over the years, have bought dakas. I remember going into a place in Bati Ungarim, and he made beautiful dakas. Costs a fortune, because the dikdukim that need to be put into the manufacture, it's a lot. Not like we've just seen. So we can have dakas. We shouldn't get pshutim. I'll change the word. Pshutim, shmatas, not worth the skins on which they're written. I hate to call them even tefillin. The parts of the tefillin. Reb David mentioned there's a ketzitza, there's a titura, there's a ma'avarta, there's a shin of three, a shin of four. The shin, we were told just now, has to be chakirechos. What? It can't be chaktochos. What? What does it mean, chakirechos? What does it mean, chaktochos? These are some of the words. We don't have the time to go into all of these things now. But these expressions we need to know. We need to be wise when we go to buy. We need to be able to buy with our eyes open. As a young man in yeshiva many years ago, there used to be something called Tfilin Shel Rosh Yeshiva. Tfilin Shel Rosh Yeshiva, they were tfilin that had the chuta tfira bein bais lebais. Almost nobody else had things like that unless you were gadol v'choshuv. Nowadays, it's almost standard. You can see between the ketzitza, the upper part, and the titura, you can see a tiny little piece of gid. Actually, it goes through the bais to prove that it's prudus. Anybody can have them these days. I was once associated with a place, only for a short while. Not only were they selling tefillin with chuta tefira bein bais lebais that you could see, they sold for an extra amount of money chuta tefira bein bais lebais which is inside. I never understood. What do you mean chuta tefira bein bais lebais that's inside? I have a copy of, I have a Shas at home. I can't say that I'm a bokeh in every single page in Shas, but I didn't find this particular description. I didn't find it in my Shas. I didn't find it in Poskim. But I did see that this particular place, they were selling this hidur for some extra money. It's perfectly kosher. But then we're being told that this hidur costs you extra. We know that a hidur mitzvah, so I see an esrog, very nice, all the shape that I want, and next to it, there's an esrog which is even more beautiful. So I'm mahadur ashlish, I can go with that. Because this exists in Shas and Poskim. But hidurim that don't exist in Shas and Poskim, I have a hard time with it. We were told the tefiras. If we have a beged, there are parts that make up that beged. And I ask you, if the stitching in my beged is loose, is it going to do the job that it's supposed to do? Are the parts of my beged going to stay together as they should? No. My tefillin need to be sewn. They need to be sewn with gid. I'll tell you about gid in a second. But if the stitching is loose, it's as if it doesn't exist. One of the five parts of tefillin that Reb David referred to, the gid. So I'll tell you a story, a very short story about gid. Gid also needs to be made lishmo. Yes, we can have it with a tanai. And I was with a very choshev batimacher some years ago. And he said to me, he says, David, I have found really good gid. Beautifully made. Oh? And I happened to be doing chazora on the whole parsha of tanai. So I said, tell me, is it made with a tanai or without a tanai? Because we need gid to sew up a sefer Torah. We need gid to sew up tefillin. So is it made with a tanai that I can use it either or? He says, you know, I asked the question. And the person said to me, he says, yes, I make it with a tanai. And what nusach of tanai does he use? He says, I make it l'shem kedusha sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzahs. I said, oy vey. What do you mean, oy vey? I said, well, I don't know about you, but I don't need gid in my mezuzahs. So what he said is a problem. What should I do? You have a Rebbe. Go and ask your Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rav Eliyashiv. And Rav Eliyashiv told him to go now, right now, to go to that particular manufacturer and tell him that what he's done is no good. You can't find what you've made in the past, but from now on, you mustn't do it again. And he did that. So that's tonight. When we go to buy, are we asking, are these things made out tonight? The ribua, it was mentioned. Our tefillin need to be square. How square? The Prima Godim says, very interesting expression. Heicha de'efsher. That's what the Prima Godim says. They should be as square as they could possibly be. So what kind of tolerance do we have? Is it this amount or that amount or the other amount? We can find, Baruch Hashem, there are poskim that know. And Rabu Hadeot. There are many opinions. But we need an opinion. So if we discover a discrepancy in the ribua, we need to find out, is it still within the bounds of that which is accepted? Is this lechatchila? Is this b'di'evet? Is this maybe no good at all? How many questions we need to ask? The manufacturer of the bais, we're told it needs to be l'shem kedusha. Very good. How many of us rely at Pesach time on matzahs that are machine made? How many of us rely on matzahs that are only handmade? One of the differences with all the technology that we have, I don't think that as yet we've got a robot that can say l'shem kedushas whatever. So possibly there is a difference between machine matzahs and hand-baked matzahs. The hand-baked matzahs, we can for sure say that whatever process is going on, l'shem matzahs mitzvah. Machine matzahs is something, it's different. Ribua, which is a part which needs to be done lishmo, is the ribua machine done? Is the ribua hand-operated? Some of you that might be familiar with sewing machines, once upon a time sewing machines, before they were connected to the electricity, there was a handle on the side. You could turn it and make the needle go up and down and sew the garments. Then something really fancy came in. Pardon the advertisement, I think they were on Singer sewing machines, no relation. It was a foot treadle. Did the same thing, but at least your two hands were free. You could feed the material through and whatever. You know, ribua, it can either be pressing a button and the electricity turns the machine around, or I can use a foot treadle, which turns the machine around. That's known as ribua regel. I wonder, what is the difference between ribua regel, that's to say the person who's turning the machine that helps me do the ribua, or ribua yad, which is also the person. I wonder what the difference is, apart from the price. I need to be savvy. I want you to be able to go away from here today a lot more savvy than when you came in. What are the questions that I need to ask? What is my lexicon? So I've mentioned or echod, I've mentioned gasus, I've mentioned dakus, we've seen a demonstration of pshutim, I'm sorry, shmatas. We've seen what a bias is. We know there's a shel yad, we know there's a shel rosh, we know therefore there's a difference in the process of them. Somebody tells you, you know, the shedelech that we have and keep our tefillin inside them, they come with little stickers on them, right? Or sometimes it's now embossed in gold letters. That it's ribua and it's avodas, this and all kinds of... Is that edus on what's inside? Or perhaps I need to ignore the shedelech completely and ask myself, what are they for? So I'll give you an answer. They're to help you wrap the ritzuas on them. That's all. Prevents the bias from getting knocked. That's all it is. Don't take what's written on the shedelech as some kind of edus as to what you've got inside. I've mentioned chutat tefira. Where is the chutat tefira? Is it just closing the bias? Does it go between the prudos? Prudos. Well, it was already mentioned. Rav David mentioned it. Prudos, the four batim of the shel rosh. Right? They need to be in a state where they're not glued completely. So the idea, the Gemara says in Menachos, is that we should have a chutat tefira or meshicha going between to prove that there's no, as it were, glue there. Very nice. So is the chutat tefira? Is there not a chutat tefira? The ribua, is it beyad? Is it beregen? What difference does it make apart from the price? The gidim need to be made. Are they made with a tanai? Are they not made with a tanai? Who made them? You know, I once came across... I went into a shop in Meir Shorim. Got nothing against the shop, that's for sure. And I asked him, do you have gid? He says, yes, I have gid. I said, who made it? He said, I'm not quite sure, but I know that it comes from a particular place. And they have a class. They give a class. They give shiurim there to candidates who are prospective gavim. And they are manufacturing gid. It's beautiful gid. Take a look. I looked at it. It was really, really nice. And I said, tell me, is this manufactured before they received their certificate or after? He had no answer. The gid remained in the shop. There's nothing I could do about it. I mentioned different types of ksav. Personally, I'm familiar with approximately four different types of ksav. Ksav Beis Yosef, which is good for Ashkenazim. Ksav Ari, which is good for Chassidim. Ksav Velish, which is good for Sfardim. And there's ksav rubbish, which is good for nobody. As to whether you need the parshas to be like the Taz or like the Rambam, go ask your rabbi. Ask your, I mean, we're familiar with Sforim. There's a lovely phrase in a lot of Sforim, halacha Sforim. Consult your local Orthodox practicing rabbi. I must tell you, and it's quite sad, there are not a lot of Orthodox practicing rabbis who are familiar enough with the intricacies. So when you ask your shayla, make sure that you're asking the shayla to somebody who knows. I just want to show you a couple of things here.
Plenty.
It's sort of like, I feel a little bit like a conjurer here, taking things out of a box. The knot at the back of our shel rosh might look like this. Ignore the loop at the top. It forms a square. But surely, the knot at the back should be a dalet. Well, don't worry, it is. It's perfectly kosher. It's a Galitiano custom and several other customs as well. That if we look at the ritzua, how it comes down on the right-hand side and it comes across on the left-hand side, that makes our dalet. So the knot helps us to form a dalet. Others, the actual knot itself forms the dalet. How many of you are familiar with this? This is known as the double dalet. This is worn by Chassidei Tzanz. This is worn by Chassidei Beit El and some others. And these go on. Are you familiar with related to the Gra? There's a sefer which gives us minhagim of the Gra. Wasn't written by the Gra, but some of his Talmidim. When they asked him if he put on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, being a good Jew, he answered the question with a question. Do you put on tefillin? Yes, said the questioner. Why, asks the Gra? In order to be yotze the sopik of Rabbeinu Tam. Reportedly, the Gra replied, in that case you have 64 pairs of tefillin to put on. If it's just a question of being yotze the doubt, That's it. So, just as we have within tefillin, so we have also different customs. Some people put on tefillin according to Shemusha Rabbah, right? And these are tefillin of Mincha, and this would be the knot that they would have at the back. Personally, I've never worn that, and it takes a while to make as well. With the shayad, look at the length of the loop. Now this is a loop compared with this. Now this is just a practical piece for you. They're both basically the same, but you notice how small the loop is here. If you look in the Biur Halacha, this is part of the kesher. This loop is part of the kesher. And if all that kesher needs to be tzamud labayis, needs to be next to the bayis, so does the loop. And if you make the loop too big, it isn't tzamud labayis. I was sent to Shaila not so long ago. Wasn't quite sure what the Shaila was about. But it turns out it was about the sa'arot, the hairs that stick out. Have a look at your shel rosh, and you see in the front sticking out sa'arot. Well, this is all that's left of the egel, right? The rest presumably was eaten, right? But we need to be able to see them, and if we can't see them, one of the reasons why we have them is that sort of aid us that there's something inside the bites. doesn't tell us about the kashrus of what's inside the vase, but it tells us there's something inside the vase. Each of this parshiot is wrapped with se'ara. By the way, I asked Rav Eliyoshiv Zatzal, every time I see a reference to se'ar, it says it in singular. Does it mean, taka, only one se'ar? He answered me as follows. He said, I don't know. I look it up in my grandfather's sefer. His grandfather was the Baal Eleshim. And a couple of days later, I presented myself for the answer. Yes, one se'ar. But you know what? Perhaps, maybe that se'ar will break. So use two or maybe three, but not a forest. So even something like this, there are things involved. How savvy now are we? Are we a little bit more alert? Are we going to be able to gain for ourselves customer guarantee that from whatever is involved in our tefillin is going to be produced as it should be? I've often asked Sofrim why they do certain nuances with letters. And they answer me, or many have answered me, because I think it looks beautiful. My standard answer to this has been, if you write al pi halacha, mimela it will come out nice. So that's what we need to make sure. Are things being done al pi halacha? If they are, fine. But every statement in Gemara, a Tana will say, an Amora will say, and they're asked to bring a proof. They don't just take their word for it. So they'll bring a pasuk. They'll bring a proof. The proof will be discussed this way, that way, the other way. So it should be with yourselves. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, that you will go away from here. Number one, for sure, yourselves more savvy. But please, please, spread the word. Others need to be as savvy as you. Rav David has uncovered for us a Reva Tefach. I've uncovered for you maybe an eighth more. There is a lot more. I'll finish by saying, I was once shown a pair of tefillin, this is going back many years, in Eretz Yisrael, and I was told, do you know, we paid $1,000 for these tefillin. This is something like about 1977. I said, $1,000? How is that possible? And one of my colleagues was standing not too far away from me, so I went over to him and I said, is it possible? $1,000 for a pair of tefillin? He said, yes. Es gewein a guter Seicher. We need to be able to, as it were, run the line. The line is, it needs to be kosher. It needs to be guaranteed kosher. Right? But no party tricks for anything. Neither for Higurim, nor for prices. But we need to know that we get value for money. Value for money, as far as I'm concerned, is kosher. Want it lechatchila? For sure. I have here on the table a couple of sforim. I'm not a mocha sforim, and they're not for sale. But just so that you should know what is available for you to become even more savvy than you already are. It is available in the market. Please use it. Refer to it. Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, Shiloni Kasher. Thank you. Thank you.